I'd like to turn to Psalm 31, please. I apologise for my voice today. Been on holiday with twins and granddaughter, and they had the snuffles and passed it on to granddad, so I apologise for my voice. Psalm 31, the Psalm of David. It's known as a Psalm of Lament, a psalm which speaks of David's day of troubles and distress, and we'll see some of that a bit later as we progress through this meditation this morning. In a sense, it is a psalm of David, it's true, of his condition. It's also true of our condition as well. We can put ourselves into this psalm. We've all been through periods which are similar to David's condition. But above all of that, it speaks, I really believe, about the Lord Jesus Christ and his sufferings upon Calvary's cross. For in verse 5, those familiar words, that cry, as he gave up his spirit, in verse 5 he says, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit." As is quoted there upon the cross of Calvary in our New Testament. I want to encourage you to look at this psalm as a psalm of the Saviour's sufferings and of our own sufferings, and how we are to respond to those sufferings and those providential dealings which God brings into our life. First of all, David declares, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." That's emphatic. My trust. This is a theme through this psalm. Three times he mentions it, that he's put his trust in the Lord. And verse 14, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God." In verse 6, "But I trust in the Lord." And there's a challenge for us straight away. Where do we place our trust? For David, it was the Lord. In thee, O Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, the covenantal God, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defence to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." And later on today, when you go home, read Psalm 71. And those verses we just read there, the first three verses, are repeated. We're not told it's a psalm of David, but the same words, pretty much identical, there in Psalm 71. So this is an affirmation of faith that David is declaring. Declaring that God is a strong rock. He's a house of defense. He's a high tower. He's a place of refuge, a place of safety, a place where we can flee to, a place which is immovable, a stronghold, a fortress, therefore. And again, as we considered in previous Psalms, it's for his name's sake. It's for the Lord's sake. And he prays that the Lord, the covenantal God, would lead him and he would guide him. That should be our prayer every day as a believer, that we would seek the Lord's leading and the Lord's guiding. This is what the Lord sought. Often we read in the New Testament, he went up into the mountains to pray. He set himself apart from his disciples early in the morning and he went to pray. And the condition David finds himself in, the condition that the Lord Jesus found himself in, is there in verse 4. "Pull me out of a net that they have laid privily." They're like men who've laid a net, a trap for the Lord Jesus. And he prays that he may be drawn out of that net, because God is his strength. He's in a condition which is perilous. He feels in danger. Life-threatening. the situation which David is distressed over. Verse 9, he says, "Have mercy upon me, Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief." The eye there speaks of a lack of health, a lack of strength. When Moses died, at the age of 120, I believe, his eyes were not dimmed. He didn't lack strength. He was a man full of vigor and strength. But here, the psalmist declares, "Mine eye is consumed with grief." Consumed. He is laid low. He's a man in trouble, in deep trouble. Not only that, nor is it physically. He says, my soul and my belly, speaking of the whole being of the man, his soul is distressed. His physical appearance is distressed. His mental anguish is in great trouble and in great distress. So he cries, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." Verse 11. He says, "I was reproached among mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors." Now we're reminded there of the Pharisees and the scribes who sought to kill him, destroy him, sought to entrap him. Every occasion they sought to trick him with their crafty questions. And he was in the midst of enemies. He was a reproach. They sneered at him. They mocked him. "I was reproached among all of mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, my own people." He was a fear to his own acquaintances. They did see me without, fled from me. His friends deserted him. One time David was popular. They sang. He conquered more enemies than Saul. He was the song, he was the toast of the nation. And then it appears here there's a decline in his popularity. And we see that in the case of the Lord Jesus. The people loved him. The people sought him for healing and for many other blessings. And then towards the end of his life, those few days there in Jerusalem, the people who cried Hosanna now cry, "Crucify him. Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. We will not have this man to reign over us." And his very own friends, one friend betrayed him. You imagine that, being betrayed by one who's been your close associate, and he betrays you. And he betrays you in words and with a kiss. His other friends, they run, they hide, fearful of their own lives. And David is in a similar situation. He's been abandoned. He's been forsaken by all his friends and his acquaintances. And the Lord Jesus was likewise abandoned and forsaken. And the Lord Jesus, as we know there in Psalm 22, even felt that abandonment of God himself. My God, why have you forsaken me? God forsaking God? How can that be? What a mystery. And yet that is what our Lord Jesus felt as he was there bearing the sins of his people. He says in verse 12, "I'm forgotten as a dead man, out of mind." That's a sobering thought even for us. As we approach death, you know, we're soon forgotten. But soon forgotten, unless you are a great man or a great woman, some national hero, we're soon forgotten. You go to the graveyards and no one attends the graves, they're forgotten. We have relatives go stretched back in our own family histories, they're forgotten, they're unknown to us, aren't they? People, relatives don't speak of them, they don't even know them. They're forgotten. As a dead man, out of mind. And like a broken vessel, he says, as one that is a vessel is broken and is thrown on the heap, forgotten, no interest, and of no use. This is what our Lord was feeling. I am like a broken vessel. Not only does he feel his physical anguish, there's also this mental torment as well. Verse 13, for I've heard the slander of many. The slander of many. To be slandered is a hard thing. To have people say things about you which are not true is hard to bear. It's difficult. And the Lord Jesus heard this. For I have heard the slander of many. Not just one or two, but of many. This rumor is spread around. And it's hurtful. We say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. But they do. Names hurt. When a reputation is under attack, it hurts. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ felt. He felt that slander. Fear. Verse 13. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. What a position the Son of God found himself to be in. You consider your problems this morning, and I know our problems are great for some of us, and they're hard to bear. But you sift your problems through what the Lord Jesus Christ had to bear. Our problems become very small in comparison to what he endured for his people. So there's briefly David's situation. Physically and mentally tormented, weakened through scourging and through the crucifixion. And what's his resolution? What's his response to all this? What should be our response when we are in days of distress? Verse 14 puts it very succinctly. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Faith is exercised. This is the exercise of faith. Not on feelings. We are so consumed with our feelings, the way I feel, the way I don't feel, the way I feel towards God, the way I feel towards the church. We are not to be creatures who are governed by feelings. We are to be those who are exercised by faith. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ does. But, despite all that's going on, despite all that I'm suffering, despite all the torment and anguish, despite all the providential dealings of my Heavenly Father, but I still trust in thee. This is the emphasis. This is the motivation of the Lord Jesus. I trusted in thee. It's emphatic, isn't it? I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. No matter what the slander may be, no matter what is thrown at me by the devil, I trust in thee. Thou art my God. Well, that's a challenge to my heart, and I trust to your heart. Because we are tossed to and fro, aren't we, by circumstances and the providential dealings of God. We're so emotional. And emotion is good. That's not wrong. But we must not let our emotions rule our lives. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Satan would have us look in many directions. Look to one another. Look to the world. Look to help from within the church. All these things are good, appropriate and right. But our first port of call should be in the Lord. Our first look should be upwards to Almighty God, to what He will do to deliver us. Satan will always look every other place, and the Lord will be last. And David here, and as I truly believe the Lord Jesus, make this declaration: "But I trusted in thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my God." It's personal. Thou art my God. Can you say that from your heart? That God is my God. He's my Saviour. He's my Redeemer. We have this personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this true of you? Is this your heart condition? David could save us. The Lord Jesus could save us. Thou art my God. And he says there in verse 15, "My times are in thy hand." This is not some sort of vague declaration. He's declaring God's sovereignty. "My times are in thy hand." Whose hand? God's hand. Verse 5, he says, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit." That wasn't just words from his lips. That wasn't just a vague thought. This was truth. This was reality. And this is the outworking of it. "My times are in thy hand." Times. My times. How little time we have upon this earth. A time is not our own time. If you're a Christian, your time is a gift. It's a gift from God. Every minute of every day will be accountable before God. The time we've wasted, the time we've lost, the Bible declares we are to redeem the time. We're just a vapor. Do you realize that? You know, some can live to 100 plus. Still a vapor compared to eternity. It's a very, very short amount of time. What are we doing with our time? Are we investing it for the kingdom of God, for the glory of Christ, for his church, and for his people? "My times are in thy hand." He knows that God is the God of providence. He knows that God has given him this time, and he's going to be accountable for it. And it's in God's hand. What a precious thought that is, to know that our times are in God's hand. But we're secure. But we're blessed. Because we are in the hands of Almighty God. Times, blessed times, those blessed times you have with friends and families, they're all in God's hands. Even days of adversity are in God's hands. His providential dealings with us. Days of sickness. Even when the doctor says, "I'm sorry, the prognosis is not good, it's cancer." Still in God's hands. Still God's time. God's dealings. And we may ask the question, why? But that's not the question we should be asking. We should be praying that this time will be to God's glory. This illness may be to his praise. Some of you know, dear John Smith, he used to preach from his platform occasionally. His declaration was for his cancer, "Gary, I will not miss this for the world." How many of us could say that? He said, "The Lord has been so close and so sweet and so personal. If it wasn't for this illness, I would never experience the dealings of God in my life." It's not a disaster, is it? It's a gateway into glory itself. God is conforming us to his image, even through days of adversity, days of trouble. These days of salvation. This is the day of salvation. We have the privilege from this pulpit to declare the day of salvation to a dying world. You have that privilege. when you meet with friends, that this is a day of salvation. And that is why Christ came. That is why Christ died, to bring salvation to men and women and to boys and girls. And we are grateful of that gift of eternal life. And we have that responsibility to make that message known to the world outside. My times are in thy hand. Even the day of your death, even the day of the death of the Lord Jesus, was an appointed time, an appointed day, a set time. Nothing was going to deviate God's plan. It was set there before the foundation of the world, the day that the Son of God would die. And each one of us is a day appointed. Unless he comes and takes us into the air, which we all long for, but there will be a day we will be taken by death or by Christ himself. And what a blessed day that will be for the believer. No more pain, no more tears, no more sadness, no more heartaches, no more heartbreak, but in the presence of the Lord God himself, with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day that will be. My times are in thy hand. Those hands of strength, of power, of security. John speaks of us being in the palm of his hand. There's the Christian in the palm of God's hand. Who can pluck him? No, not one. Not even Satan himself. And the picture, as we said before, is like the hand of God on top of the hand of God. Eternally secure. Why? Because Christ has paid the penalty of our sin. And we can have that confidence that we will be with the Lord in the day that's appointed to us. So what's your response, dear Christian, in days of trouble? Can you declare with David and with the Lord himself, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. And what a God we have to worship. What a God we have to serve. What a God we have to adore. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the eternal Son of God, who bore our sins away upon Calvary's cross. And our response should be to glorify him in body, mind and spirit, in our words and in our conversation, that we may tell others of this great salvation, which was brought at such a great price by the eternal Son of God. May the Lord bless those thoughts to us this morning. And we'll close our time of worship. Sing 210. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Hymn 210.